do some discipleship with our church family on the subject of prayer. And so we're 2 weeks into this. This is the third week now. We've been on this subject, and we've already talked about the necessity of prayer. The first time we came together last week, we talked about a prayer you ought to pray every day. And today I want to speak to you on this subject, and that is the pattern of prayer. Now, we'll be in this passage for a little while, not just studying the verses we'll look at tonight, but the verses that follow as well, as this is a very in-depth passage on the subject of prayer. But Luke 11 is where we'd like to take up our journey here tonight. And I would say that there is no one more qualified to teach us on how to pray than Jesus Christ himself. No one more qualified really to teach us on anything than Jesus. And thankfully, Jesus walked in this flesh, and the living word gave us the written word. And now we can refer to what Jesus has taught to us and learn from it together as the church. And we've already looked at this account in the scripture, but I'll review just for sake of clarity and context. The disciples of Jesus, on a certain day, after they had witnessed Jesus praying, looked at him, they asked him a question. They said, "Lord, can you teach us to pray?" And Jesus began then to do what they asked him to do. And I want us to read the text here for context, starting in Luke 11 and verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' And he said unto them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" 62 words. 62 words. Jesus taught us really everything we need to know about the subject of prayer to get us started. Now, there's a lot more taught in the Bible on the matter of prayer, and I'm not negating that truth. I'm saying this is the fundamentals. When someone asked Jesus, "Teach me how to pray," this is what Jesus said. In these 62 words, there's a lot that the Lord wants us to learn. And of course, we know this is often called the Lord's Prayer. But hear me out on this. It really isn't the Lord's Prayer. It's not a prayer the Lord would pray. For example, why would Jesus pray, "Forgive me my sin"? He knew no sin. He never sinned. It isn't the Lord's Prayer. This is a model prayer. And I think a more accurate description for this prayer would be that it is a model prayer, a pattern for prayer that you and I are supposed to learn from. And I think it's significant we understand that distinction there and notice that this is an example of prayer that the Lord Jesus gave to us so that we could learn how to pray. Listen to me on this. The reality is we need to be taught how we ought to pray because we don't know how to pray as we ought to. Don't know how to pray as we ought to. We need to be taught how to pray. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, the Bible says, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." And obviously, there's a gap in our finite human nature in understanding what really should go into this matter of prayer. You say, "How do you know that?" Because most people's prayers are entirely selfish. Only talk to God when you want something. Only talk to God when you have nowhere else to go. By the way, God still wants you to come. We don't know how to pray as we ought to. That's why the disciples looked at Jesus and said, "Don't pray like anybody else. You teach us how to really pray?" And that's the heartbeat that we need to have as we approach this pattern of prayer that Jesus gave to us. And so the Spirit of God can take the Word of God to teach you how to pray as you ought to. And as we study this passage of Scripture, we're going to discover in this a biblical pattern for prayer. Now, we're not going to get through all of this week, and I'm not even going to act like we are. I'm not even going to try, okay? because I really believe there's too much in here for us to try to rush through or go really far over time and lose attention. And so we're just going to take our time with this. We're going to learn some things. And I want you to listen to this. I believe the Lord will speak to your heart. And maybe there'll be a couple things that you can take and plug into your walk with the Lord this week, into your prayer life this week, that will begin to help you learn how to pray as the Lord Jesus said that we ought to. Now, before we jump into learning this biblical pattern for prayer, let's take a minute to pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. And as we do so, I'm going to ask someone to pray for me and ask the Lord to speak to us. Brother James Smith, will you mind leading us in prayer and asking the Lord to speak to us tonight? Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. Luke 11 is where we're at, if you didn't know, and looking at the pattern of biblical prayer. And so the first thing we need to consider in this passage is the precedent for biblical prayer. The precedent for biblical prayer. Notice again that before we can truly pray as we ought to pray, what the Bible indicates to us is that we need to first look to Jesus and his example. Verse number 1, again, of Luke 11, the Bible says, oh, I lost my place in my Bible. Let me turn back over there. Luke 11, verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And so biblical prayer, true biblical prayer, what the Bible is indicating to us here, is that true biblical prayer is only possible through Jesus. How we learn how to pray as we ought can come only as we look to our example, and that is Jesus Christ. And there is in Scripture really a twofold reason for why this is the case. And the first of those reasons is that Jesus, his finished work is what makes it possible for all of us as believers to be able to have access to God in prayer. Listen, if you'd never looked to Jesus for salvation, you would never be able to come to God in prayer. And we've already covered this to some extent, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear you. That is a truth that is true of someone who is estranged from Christ. You cannot talk to God except through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, 6, no man comes to the Father but by me. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, there is one God and there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. My friend, there's always been and there always is going to be only one way that you can approach God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And so the fundamental truth is the only reason that you can pray, and before you ever think about going to learn how to pray or attempting to pray and talk to God, you better be sure you found your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where it's got to begin. Now, I know I might be preaching to the choir a little bit here tonight, but get this. Once you're saved, you've got a free and full access to the Father. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may find grace and obtain mercy to help in time of need. And boy, the Bible says we can come boldly to God in prayer once we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And there needs to be nothing, nothing, nothing that hinders you from coming into the presence of God in prayer if you believed in the finished work of Jesus Christ for your sins. And so why we need to look to Christ first is because he is our access to God. He's our entrance to God. But a second reason why we need to look to Jesus as a precedent for prayer is because he is our example. He is our example in prayer as well. Jesus set a great example for us of how to pray. And I'm going to read several verses to you. You may just write these down. We don't have time to go to all of them tonight. But what we find in the Scripture is that prayer was a regular practice in Jesus' life. And we see him praying all the time and at all times of day. A couple of examples, Mark 1 and verse 35. The Bible says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. There's Jesus in the early hours, getting alone, taking time to pray. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, this is after he fed the 5,000, When he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. And here he is in the evening after a busy day of ministry, spending time alone with God in prayer. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Here's Jesus praying all night. I'm going to tell you something. Ever prayed all night before? Change your life. You ought to try it. And I don't know how many times I've done it. Boy, I should do it more, probably. It is a life-changing experience just to spend a night with God. And it requires a burden big enough to carry you through the night. Boy, what a blessing that is. Jesus prayed through the night. And so we see Jesus' example of prayer by his very practice of it. We also see in the New Testament several examples of prayers that Jesus prayed that we can learn from in the Scripture. And you think about it. When Jesus prayed, miracles happened. When Jesus prayed, the winds and the waves were calmed. When Jesus prayed, people were healed. When Jesus prayed, demons were cast out. When Jesus prayed, lives were changed. When Jesus prayed, dead men began to walk again. That's what happened when Jesus prayed. And we've got some power that we can learn from through the prayers of Jesus Christ. And yet those weren't the only types of prayers that Jesus prayed. You go to John chapter 17. It is the most significant prayer of Christ in the Scripture, in my opinion. And it is his high priestly prayer that he prayed for all believers. It'll change your perspective if you read John chapter 17 and understand that's Jesus praying for you, John 17. He prayed an intercessory prayer for his disciples. Jesus in Luke 22 spent time in prayer surrendering to God's will, if for no other reason than as a man, although he was 100% God, as a man as well, he was demonstrating to us what true surrender in prayer looks like. And that's when he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus set that example for us. Jesus spent time in prayer asking for strength to endure the cross. Luke chapter 22 is when he was asking the Lord for that strength. He didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to bear our sins. He had known no sin. He said, "Lord, if it's possible for you to deliver me from this cup, let it be. But if it isn't possible, let thy will be done and not mine." And he asked the Lord for prayer. He sweat great drops of blood as he prayed with fervency in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. Oh, there's so much we can learn from Jesus' prayer there. And of course, we also know that Jesus prayed while he hung on the cross. What did he pray? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus prayed for the lost, even as he was being nailed to a cross by them. There's so much we can learn from the prayer life of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in Luke 11, draw our attention back there, as he was praying, the disciples could see there's something different about how he talked to God. The scribes didn't talk to God that way. The Pharisees didn't talk to God that way. They prayed these fake prayers with their phylacteries that were so vain and so public that it was obvious all the fancy words they were using, that they weren't talking to God. They were talking to themselves and wanting to sound good in front of other people. When Jesus prayed, it's like he knew God. Jesus prayed, it was different. And so the disciples, after they heard Jesus pray, they looked at him and said, "Lord, teach us to do that. Teach us to do that." And we can learn a lot from the example of Jesus Christ in prayer. And so listen to me on this. When Jesus tells you how you ought to pray, better listen up. He knows what he's talking about. Right? He is God. If anybody knows how to talk to God, it's God. Okay? So that we see the precedent for biblical prayer is the example in the entrance of Jesus Christ. The second thing I want you to see tonight are the preliminaries of biblical prayer. The preliminaries of biblical prayer. Verse number 2 of Luke chapter 11, we see here that before Jesus told his disciples how to pray, he gave some simple preliminary instructions on the mindset that should precede our prayer. So before you even go to pray, here's some instruction that Jesus gives. Verse number 2, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, When you pray, say. Just stop right there. Four words. When you pray, say. He said, well, you really going to stop and preach on this? Yeah, I'm going to preach on every word, okay? He said, when you pray, say. And in his preface to the Lord's Prayer, there are some preliminary principles that teach us something about how we ought to approach this matter of prayer. And these four words, Jesus gave us four preliminary principles, and I want you to note these down. The first one is this: God wants you to pray whenever you can, wherever you can. God wants you to pray whenever you can, wherever you can. The Bible says there, and Jesus said in verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray. He used the word when. Take note, Jesus didn't say if. He didn't say if you pray. He said when you pray. And the use of his words are very specific and very intentional. There is an assumption here that you are going to take time to pray. It's not if, it's when. When you pray, whenever you pray, here's some instruction for you. And so the essence of what we can pull from this as an application is that prayer is not optional for us as believers. It is essential. It is expected of the Lord when you pray. And in other places of Scripture, the Bible goes as far as to command us to pray. Let me give you these passages of Scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 26, in verse number 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into a temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said, beloved, watch and pray. And he told us to do it. This is something he's expecting of us as believers. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, part of our spiritual armor is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray always with all prayer. That's what the Bible says there. And then again in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And so God expects us to pray. God expects us to pray whenever we can because he has made it possible for us to pray whenever we can. He's made it possible. And that's why he can say something like he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, hey, pray without ceasing. Just be in a continual state of prayer. Don't stop praying. Now, Jesus wouldn't tell us to do that if we couldn't do that. But he has made it possible for us to be able to do that. And so he says, when you pray. And so the first principle here is God wants you to pray whenever you can. The second principle is this: your prayer is to be personal. Your prayer is to be personal. Notice what he says there again in verse 2. He said, when you pray. See that? It's actually ye in the King James. But when you pray. It's supposed to be a personal commitment. Prayer is something that you are expected to do. And there's nothing wrong with having someone pray for you. And a lot of times I'll talk to someone and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? And I have no problem doing that. And therefore, there's ample scriptural evidence of brethren praying for one another. But there is something that I have seen that is very curious in this day and time. And that is that people just, they're not even comfortable to pray for themselves. Not even comfortable to pray for themselves. A lot of times when I see it is when we get people who are together and maybe everybody else prays, but there's one person not comfortable to pray. And maybe that's a little bit different. It takes a step of growth to learn to pray in front of other people and talk to God in front of other people. But listen, this matter of prayer is not something you delegate. Right? Well, my wife prays for me. Right? Prayer is supposed to be something that's personal. When you pray, that's what the scripture indicates to us here. And let me just say, personal prayer is a humble way of inviting God into your life. Right? I want us to go here, James chapter number 4. Keep your place in Luke 11. Let's just turn very briefly over to James chapter 4 because I believe James teaches us something really wonderful about this matter of seeking God personally in prayer. James chapter 4, we're going to read several verses here. But you need to pray personally. James 4 and verse 1, if you're there, say amen. And the Bible says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not even hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And boy, what is emphasized in this passage is, hey, you don't have because you don't ask. You don't talk to God. And listen, you try to come to God and it's all about you. It's all about what you want, not what God wants. And you come to God with this prideful attitude, with this love of the world in your heart. You can't. The friendship with the world is enmity with God. And then begins to emphasize an important principle, and that's the principle of humility. And the Bible says that if you approach God with this spirit of humility, it's an admission that you need God in your life. And can I propose to you today, that's why personal prayer is so important? You need to admit, at least to yourself every day, not to mention God, that you need God. You don't have what it takes. That's why prayer needs to be personal, all right? It isn't, well, my church is praying for you. You should pray for the people that you commit to pray for. This is a personal thing for every one of us, and this is a personal area that every one of us need to grow in. And so the first preliminary is that God wants you to pray wherever you can or whenever you can. The second preliminary is that your prayer is to be personal. Now going back to Luke chapter 11, if you'd like to turn back over there, the third preliminary principle is this: your prayer is to be directed toward God alone. Prayer is to be directed toward God alone. Some of these things you think, well, Pastor, this is so basic. I said this was discipleship on the subject of prayer, okay? We have to start with the basics. We'll keep building off of them. But this stuff is important, and I think that we get these types of things misconstrued sometimes. And so I say again, your prayer is to be directed toward God alone. Jesus said, when you pray. And he used a word for prayer there, one that we have already studied a couple weeks ago. But the word that is translated pray here is the Greek prosukamai. And we looked at that Greek word a couple weeks ago. It speaks specifically of offering up a prayer toward God. It is the signature word in the scripture, not just for prayer in general. It's not used of pagans praying to their little g gods in the scripture. Prosukamai prayer is a specific type of prayer that is dedicated toward Jehovah God and Jehovah God alone. And when you pray, you're praying to God. Now, in a day where Eastern mysticism and spiritism have invaded our culture, I believe it's important that we make this point. And you'd be surprised at the people that I talk to who say that they speak to their relatives. The idea of praying to ancestors or talking to loved ones who have passed away is not scriptural, right? Not scriptural at all. Now, you'll be reunited with your loved ones that have gone on to heaven one day. And the Bible does say they're like a cloud of great witnesses in heaven. And oftentimes when I pray, and people who have had loved ones who passed away, they can testify to this. I'll often say something like this: Lord, would you please let so-and-so know we love them? I don't pray to them. I talk to God, okay? And I think it's important we do make this point. Jesus said, when you pray, and he was indicating offering up a prayer towards God and towards God alone. And so when you pray, you cannot pray to loved ones that have gone on. You are to direct your prayer toward God alone. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto who? God. Let them be made known unto God. So when you pray, prosukamai, direct your prayers toward God, a preliminary to prayer. Here's the fourth one, okay? And this is the final word here. Here's the fourth principle. You are to actually talk to God in prayer. Duh. Could be duh. We struggle with this one. Hear me out on this. Jesus said, when you pray, and what's the next word? Say. Oh, we struggle with that. Well, I don't struggle with saying things to God. Well, hear me out on this, okay? Jesus taught us that we're to say something. We go to God in prayer. The word translated say is the Greek lego, okay? And it means to speak or to call or to tell someone something. It's talking about actual communication taking place. Now, let's be honest. Many times, our prayers are really nothing more than empty ramblings. We have no idea what we're saying. Have you ever been praying before? I know I have been here. Have you been praying before? And you come around like 5 minutes later and think, why am I thinking about the fact that my bathroom needs to be cleaned right now? I'm trying to pray and my mind is wondering. How many of you can identify what I'm talking about? All right, it's tough. All right, you try to pray through the night and see if you can't keep your mind from wandering. You just try that. But it can be hard to pray for 5 minutes. I remember, and I've told this story before, but some of you haven't heard it. It's so funny that I whenever I talk about prayer, I got to share it at least once. I remember when I was in Bible college, my first year, I had one of my roommates. He was from North Carolina, and he had that one of those thick North Carolina accents as well. The other one was from South Carolina. We called him Redneck Tom, okay? That might not be politically correct, but he definitely fit the bill, and he told us to call him Redneck Tom. The other guy we called Hick Travis because he was definitely a hick, all right? And so I had these two Southern boys in my room, and they were on my bus route as well, and we decided, it was before a big Sunday, and we were on our bus routes inviting a lot of kids to come to church. We decided we were going to spend all night in shifts praying and asking for God to bless and allow us to see a lot of young people trust Christ as their Savior. And so we just all decided that we'd come and go as we were able to. And I remember a couple of us started out in the room praying, and I prayed. I don't know how long I prayed. It doesn't matter how long I prayed. But it was a little while I prayed in there. And when I started to get sleepy and I felt like I spent ample time in prayer, I got up. And boy, my buddy Travis, he's the only one left in the room, and he was still on his face praying. And I thought, wow, that guy's a spiritual guy. I'm going to bed. And so I went to bed. Well, one of our other friends, his name was Brad Meyer. Brad's a pastor today, too. And Brad worked a third shift job. And so Brad was gonna carry the rest of it home for us. And he got in pretty early in the morning, about 5 or 6 in the morning. And as he's walking down the hallway to the dorm room, he begins to hear this roar taking place from the prayer room. And he opens the door, and lo and behold, there's Travis still on his face praying. Snore, okay? And Brad just had a little laugh, and he woke Travis up, and as he told the story, Travis kind of came out of his sleep, and he looked up at Brad, and Brad said, you've been praying in here? And he said, yeah, I've been praying in here. And he said, how long have you been praying in here? And I said, I guess I've been here all night. And he said, what have you been praying about, Travis? And Travis said, well, I'm not sure. The only thing I can remember saying, I remember praying is, dear Jesus. He didn't get very far in his prayers, but he sure prayed all night, didn't he? Hey, I don't mind to pray yourself asleep. I'll do that a lot of times, but I always thought that was funny. And it reminds me of the fact that we really struggle with saying things, actually talking to God when we go to prayer. And I believe that when you get on your knees before God, a spiritual battle begins to take place. You make no mistake about it. The devil does not want God's people praying. He does not want, he'll do anything to distract your mind, all right? You start to pray, the baby will start to cry, all right? The dog will start to bark, somebody will knock at your door, a text message will come on your phone. All kinds of things will happen if you really start to go about trying to pray. And you'll begin to see that battle taking place. But the fact is, the Lord told us he wants us to actually talk to him when we pray. He wants us to actually have a conversation with him when we pray. Now, I understand, and you do too, that sometimes you may go to talk to God, the words just don't come out. Your heart is, when I am talking about praying, I think it is a good thing for you to actually speak when you pray. To actually talk when you pray. I don't have as much difficulty getting distracted when I'm actually talking to someone. But when I'm thinking words in my head, it can go all over the place. That's why Jesus condoned in Matthew 6 the use of a prayer closet. Because you can go in there and you can talk, you can sing, you can shout, you can do whatever you need to do in that time of prayer because you're in a private place alone. I like to walk and pray. And oftentimes you might see me walking around the streets out here and I'm moving my lips. I'm probably praying, okay? And I'm not speaking in tongues, I'll guarantee you that, okay? Everybody has their own way of practicing it. I think it's a good thing to actually speak. But also understand that there are times you are so burdened that you go to speak and there's not words that'll come out, okay? And if you have lost a loved one or if you have been so burdened for a need in your life, you understand this type of prayer. It's the type of prayer that came from Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 when she prayed for a child. She was desperate and she kneeled at the altar in the tabernacle. And when Eli looked at her, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 1 verse 13 that he looked at her and her lips were moving, but there were no words coming out. That was the prayer of a brokenhearted woman, desperate for God to work on her behalf. And Eli looked at her and he said, well, this woman is drunk. And he tried to kick her out of the tabernacle. But she said, I'm not drunk. My heart's broken and I need something from God. And I'm asking God to give me a child. And Eli told her, God's going to answer your prayer. And not too long after that, she had a child, Samuel. And that's the kind of brokenhearted prayer. And sometimes that happens. But as a general rule of thumb, Jesus said when you pray, you need to actually talk to God. All right? And, sometimes that might mean your family might think you're crazy if you decide to pray in your house. I'm not really able to do this as much with having young kids right now because if my kids hear me talking, they want to come talk to me. And so I've had to devise a different means for this season of life. But it is a significant thing that Jesus said, when you pray, you need to say. Now, at other times when you're praying, you may go to talk to God, but you don't know what to say. Have you ever been there before? You know that your heart's hurting. You know that there's a need, but you don't know how to pray for it. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 addresses this. The Bible says, likewise also the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not how we ought to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And what the Scripture essentially says here is that God knows what is on your heart and communicates that for you. And so before you ever approach God in prayer, there are some preliminary truths you need to understand that we've looked at here tonight. When you pray, say. Now, the last thing I want us to look at, and I'm not going to go into this, I just want to give an overview to build a foundation for next week. We've seen the preliminaries of biblical prayer, the precedent for biblical prayer, and the last thing I just want to breeze over here is the pattern for biblical prayer. We'll come back to this next week, but as the Bible goes on here, we see that Jesus actually began to give the words for a model prayer for his disciples to learn from and study so that they could learn how to pray. Now, don't miss this. This is not a prayer. You get on your knees and pray verbatim. And a lot of people ask me that through the years. You mark this verse down in your margin or somewhere. Matthew 6 and verse 7. Jesus said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And this is one of those other reasons why, and I've had people through the years tell me, well, you need to pray the Puritan's prayers. You need to pray the catechism prayers. You need to pray the Lord's Prayer. You need to pray a Hail Mary. And I say fooey to it all. I don't need to pray somebody else's prayer. I can pray to God from my own heart. That doesn't mean I can't read those things and learn from them and learn from how other people prayed, but I'm not going to praise somebody else's prayer. That's vain repetition. Jesus did not give us this so that we would just pray this prayer and with vain words, not understanding even what we meant. And I always thought that was comical with the Catholics. You do a certain thing wrong and they say, pray three Hail Marys and pray this prayer and you'll be set to go. And just almost ridiculous in my mind that someone would think that was how you're supposed to talk to God. But I digress from that. Jesus was not giving this to us to repeat it verbatim. There's not power in repeating these words over and over again. But the power is in taking from the substance of these words and learning from it how to guide our own prayers. And that's what I want to share with you here. So there are three sections to this prayer. And this is what I want to leave you with. Just hang with me for a couple more minutes, because if you get this, this will help you this week. Let me give you these sections. One thing that becomes clear as you study this pattern to prayer is that it's divided in these three sections. And these sections provide for us a guide for three elements of prayer that ought to be part of your personal prayer life. Three elements of prayer that should be a part of you coming to God every day in prayer. Okay, let me give you these three sections and we'll be done. Section number one is a section of submission. Submission, this tells us how to approach God. Section submission is the first one. It tells us how to approach God. You probably know the Lord's Prayer like I do. Let's say it from the beginning. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We'll stop right there. That's the first section. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's a section of submission to God. You are learning how to approach God. Now, we're going to break this out and learn from the truth that's in that more next week. But listen, most of the time when we come to prayer, come and say, God, I really need this, and will you help this person feel better? And we just jump right into supplicating. Just jump right into, God, me, them, amen. Okay? If I'm being honest, that's what most of our prayers sound. Jesus said, when you pray, start with submission. Start with Father, hallowed be thy name. Start with acknowledging God for who he is. Start with acknowledging God for where he is. Start with getting God in his proper place in your heart. God, you're above everybody else. You are exalted in my heart and in my spirit more than anyone else, and I'm coming to worship you first and foremost. That's how your prayer should begin. Submission to God. Right? Second section is a section of surrender. Surrender. In this section, we learn how to adjust our lives to God. The first section is submission, how to approach God. The second section is surrender, how to adjust our lives to God. All right? So continuing the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And say the next part with me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Right there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And so we are not imposing our will upon God first. God, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. No, we're saying, God, we're exalting him for who he is, and then we're surrendering. We're saying, God, whatever you want, okay? Whatever your will is, your kingdom be established. And we are surrendering our lives to the Lord. We are, in other words, telling God, I'm willing to adjust. I think I want what you want. So we're telling God in prayer. That's a significant thing. You learn to pray like this, what will begin happening is not only will you see prayers answered, you'll see your life changed. Right? And a lot of times, there was a famous preacher of yesteryear who popularized the saying, prayer changes things. And someone came years later and changed the phrase, and he says, prayer doesn't change things, prayer changes people. Sometimes God doesn't answer my prayer, he just changes what I was asking for. He doesn't always answer the prayer we think, answer our prayers the way that we think he should, but he always does answer. So section one is submission, how to approach God. Section two is surrender, how to adjust our lives to God. Section three is then supplication. And that is how to appeal to God. How to appeal to God. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, he said, give us day by day our daily bread, And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here, he begins to supplicate. He begins to teach us to ask for daily bread, to ask for deliverance from temptation, to ask for God's aid with how we are to treat one another in our relationships. All of these things Jesus includes in this prayer. And so it's a prayer of supplication. And friend, there's nothing wrong with you having a prayer list. We have a corporate prayer list for our church. And I hope that you take it, and I hope that you use it in your prayer life like I do and pray through that list. I hope you have your own prayer list too. And there's nothing wrong with having a list of people that you pray for, but don't let that be the only substance of your prayer. I said this before in this series, a lot of people don't even know how to talk to God if you don't give them a list of things they're supposed to ask for. It's to our shame. You just try this week. Why don't you go talk to God this week? Don't ask for anything. Worship Him. Why don't you just work on that first area right there, coming to God with submission. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Learn to just talk to God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm telling you, you've never practiced it before, it'll change your life. Now, I believe we've handed out something to you. Did you guys get a handout before the service started? On that right there, that's a list that I have often used in my prayer life. I have my own version of it now. That's more well put together than what mine is. But in my prayer journal, I just have an area where when I read a passage of Scripture that says something about God, I write it down with the verse. So when I go to pray, I can just go through that list and tell God, today I want to worship you because you're my Redeemer. Today I want to worship you because you are holy. Today I want to worship you because, now that list right there provides a bunch of attributes of God and things that when you come to God, you can pray our Father, you can pray Lord, my Redeemer, you can pray and look at that attribute and just take time to read that scripture and worship God. Say, God, thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for buying me back from my slavery to sin. Just take time to worship God for that. Learn how to pray. This is how we pray, right? Not easy. All the forces of darkness want to keep you from growing in this matter of prayer. But church, we need to learn how to pray. And I hope that our heartbeat continues to be as the disciples were, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together. Time.